John 12:47-50. The words of the Lord Jesus. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say, and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. John 12:47-50. Yet again another mighty series of glorious statements, staggering statements, far-reaching statements. My friend, you just can't turn away from this man, Jesus Christ. You have to face up to him. Who is this man, making such claims as he does here and throughout this passage and throughout this gospel and throughout his entire ministry? Look what he's claiming here. In verse 48, he claims that very word which he speaks will condemn sinners at the last day. Those who reject Christ, those who do not accept the words of Christ, that very word which I spoke will condemn him. The very word. Verse 48 again, my words. Verse 47, the person who hears my words. And so on. It's the word, the words of Christ. These are saving words. They are condemning words for those who reject that salvation. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, there is judgment. But not now, for this is the day of salvation, verse 47. But my words, the very word that I spoke, will condemn the man who rejects me. He will condemn him. They will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord. I speak at the command and commission and authority and power of God. For I did not speak of my own accord, verse 49. But the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. What to say and how to say it. And this word of Christ, this command of the Father, these words of Christ are saving words. Verse 50, I know that his command, my Father's command, leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Christ speaks here of his great commission. Not as in Matthew 28, the great commission for his people, but the Father's commission for him. He has come into the world at the will and decree and authority and with the command and power of God the Father. And the purpose, the intention, the desire, the twofold will of God is what? To save. Verse 50, I know that his command leads to eternal life. I know that his command leads to eternal life. I did not come into the world, verse 47, to judge the world, but to save the world. What claims are these? Whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. I say again, friend, you have to face up to this man. It's no good saying he's a good man. That won't work. A good man couldn't just say this. He is either a megalomaniac and all that kind of thing. Deluded. Just power crazy. Or else he truly is the Son of God. What is your decision of this? I tell you mine. This is none other than the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us speaking, the very Word, the very words of God, saving words, and one day they will be condemning and judging words if I reject them. What powers, what claims? And this is what the judgment will be. You have refused me and my words. You have rejected, denied me and my words. I know, verse 50, says he, that his command, my Father's command, leads to eternal life. The gospel is saving. And it's only the gospel that's saving. Islam has no salvation. Buddhism, Sikhism, evolutionary teaching, the philosophers of the ages, they don't have any saving power. They don't have any saving teaching. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, pardon, mercy, being right with God only can come to sinners through Jesus Christ. The words Christ spoke, precious words, saving words. And of course they speak of his coming into the world to save sinners. And of course at this time in Jesus' life, he is very, very close now to the cross. He is within touching distance now, I might say, of dying on the cross to redeem sinners. And all his words have led up to this point, and will take him to the cross. And we shall read later on in the 19th chapter his glorious word at the end. It is accomplished. It is finished. Tetelestai. I have accomplished the salvation of all my people. So then, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent by the Father, empowered by the Father, gifted by the Father, saving sinners, pleasing his Father, serving his Father. This, as I say, is the great commission of Jesus Christ. Unbeliever, this is what you are rejecting. Unbeliever, if you go on rejecting Christ and die in the rejecting Christ state, this is what you will face in the day of judgment. These words, this gospel, this Christ, who came into the world to save sinners and offered you salvation and commanded you to believe and invited you to come and told you in this passage and through this little discourse now, gave you light to see that Christ has the words of everlasting life, and his blood can wash you from your sins, and his righteousness can make you right with God. Oh, look to him and trust him and be saved by him. If not, this is what you are rejecting, and this is what will condemn you forever and ever. I am sure that these words now will live in your heart forever, in your mind, echo again and again. I knew, you will say, that I had to trust the Savior, but I refused him. And I was told that the very words, the command of God in Christ, and the blood of Christ, the love of Christ, the death of Christ, would be my condemnation. And so it will prove. I say again, my friend, these are staggering claims. Christ makes them, and he makes them to you now. It's not the first or only time he has said this. Let me remind you of some verses we have read already in this gospel, which tell us much the same thing, that his commission from the Father is a perfect commission, and he has come in the power and the fullness of the power of God, and preaches and teaches the very words of God. And they are saving words, and will be condemning words. Let me remind you of some of these verses. Chapter 5, verse 19. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Chapter 5, verse 30. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. He has just spoken about the last day and when he will judge the world. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Then again, chapter 8, verse 28 to 29. Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And he goes on to verse 30. "Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him." Will you put your faith in Jesus now? Will you trust his word? Will you trust his person? Will you trust his work? Will you trust his blood to wash you from your sins? Will you trust his righteousness to clothe you? You know, it's very wonderful. Romans 10, 8 to 10. You don't have to travel far to hear this word. This word has come to you. And by the modern means of the internet, I'm speaking here in the United Kingdom. But you, where are you? In Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Peru, South America, somewhere, Chile, Africa, Iceland, America, wherever you are hearing the words of truth, saving words, Jesus Christ words, the gospel of Christ. You don't have to travel far. Romans 10, 8 to 10. The word is near you, even in your mouth, even in your ears now. And what is that? Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart, for it's believing in your heart that brings salvation. And confession shows to men and demonstrates that you're saved. So will you believe in your heart now and confess Christ as your Savior? See that you refuse not him who speaks. Why not? Because that word will condemn you and judge you at the end. It will judge you and condemn you if you do not believe. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? What is the writer speaking about? He's speaking about the days of the law, when God spoke, as it were, in an audible voice from Mount Sinai. And through the pictures and illustrations and types and emblems of the law and the sacrifices. And if the Jews in that day, in those days, would not escape, could not escape, if they refused those pictures and illustrations, how much more the judgment will come upon us if we refuse in the days of the gospel. This is the command of God, 1 John 3:23, that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son. So believe, my friend, and believe now. John 12 again, verse 36. Put your trust in the light while you have it. Put your trust in the light while you have it. Verse 44. When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. Verse 46. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Now, in the full light of the gospel, not living under the shadows of the law, but living in the full light of the gospel, here the gospel comes to you. Receive it, believe it, obey it, and trust Christ now, and be saved. I'll close with a verse of a hymn from William Cowper. William Cowper wrote a hymn on the types and shadows and illustrations of the law as pictures of Christ. Israel in ancient days not only had a view of Sinai in a blaze, but learned the gospel too. The types and figures were a glass in which they saw the Savior's face. And he lists them. The paschal sacrifice, the Passover lamb. The lamb, the dove, set forth his perfect innocence, whose blood of matchless worth should be the soul's defense. The scapegoat, the bird dipped in the living bird dipped in the in the blood of the dead bird, and so on. All these were types and pictures and shadows under the law of Christ. And Israel had a wonderful light in those days of the gospel through the shadows of the law. But it was like a candle. But now the sun shines at noonday in the full glory of the gospel. And this is how Cowper finishes this hymn. This is the punchline. If Israel had the light of the candle and was blessed, what about us, my friend? What about you? As the full gospel light has come to us, Jesus, I love to trace throughout the sacred page the footsteps of thy grace, the same in every age. Now here's the punchline. Oh, grant that I may faithful be to clearer light vouchsafed to me. My friend, even in this discourse now, I have given you the gospel of Christ. I tell you the words of Christ, the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. These are saving if you trust him. But if you reject or refuse him, they will condemn you at the last day. I plead that you receive him now. I pray that you will be faithful, as it were. You will yield to this clearer light vouchsafed to you, even in this discourse. I believe I can say I have discharged my responsibility and cleared your blood from my head. Your blood is now upon your own head. Trust Christ now, and you will never be condemned.